At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Week 3 of the Big 12 football season is in the books. Let's go. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. We appreciate you being here as always as a part of this show. And we got conference play kicking off. We got some really thrilling games outside of conference play. It was an interesting week. Not the drama of week 2 in the Big 12, but man, it was a good one. We appreciate you guys joining us. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button right there on the YouTube channel, the podcast. Would you drop up that 5-star rating and review if you haven't yet? We so appreciate you doing that because you are what drives other folks to this show, whether you're sharing it or you're helping us with the algorithms. So thank you. And Trevor, right out of the gates, dropping this. Pete, been waiting for this video. Well, here we go. So let me start off with a chaos in conference play, which kicked off this weekend. UCF down 3 scores, comes back to beat TCU on the road 35-34. And I said all week long, and actually I remember saying this in August before the season, that this game was a sneaky, interesting game. First off, first game of Big 12 play. Secondarily, the winner of this game would feel like, hey, we're the team in the Big 12 people aren't talking enough about. And the loser would say, here we go again towards a season of mediocrity. And coming out of that game last night, I believe that's how both of these teams should feel right now. Now, credit to UCF. They're down big. They don't get down on themselves. They have a massive second half. And I thought that Sonny Dykes put it pretty well in the post game. He said, they just wore us down. They wore us down with their rushing attack. And that's what this UCF team is going to do to a lot of different Big 12 teams, by the way. A lot of them. They're just going to wear you down. When you've got a 260-pound running back who can carry the ball the way that a guy like KJ Jefferson can, you're going to be in for a long night. Even if it's one of those things where you look at and you say to yourself, okay, we're keeping them in check. And it did feel like at times TCU was keeping them in check. The thing is, they still rushed for 289 yards. Harvey had a buck 89, so it was still a massive day and a massive game for the UCF offense. And it really powered them in that second half. And that's what ultimately made the difference. And Jefferson had some nice throws. He didn't have that big mistake with his arm. So all in all, this is exactly what Gus Malzahn needed. Because if Gus Malzahn had lost this game, you know what the conversation would be today. Here's Gus Malzahn again. It's never about the recruiting. It's never about the talent. It's about can he actually win the games on the field with the more talented team. And I'm not saying UCF necessarily has the more talented team. TCU has a lot of talent. But I thought they did last night. And they actually came back on the road and won the game. And for TCU, I saw a data point on Saturday night. This is the worst home loss in terms of blowing a lead in TCU home history since they joined the Big 12. So that run to the national championship is feeling further and further away for Sonny Dykes. And I'm not sitting here saying he's going in anywhere or he should go anywhere, but I am telling you that the 2022 season continues to feel like it's further and further out of reach. That's, unfortunately, the takeaway on that front. But for UCF, as a team that I had getting to the Big 12 championship game, they needed that one in a big way yesterday, and they got it on the road. All right, elsewhere, let's get right to this game because I'm seeing plenty of comments about it out of the gates. West Virginia blowing the backyard brawl. 10-point lead, they let it slip away. Now, I am going to give you a data point that if you're a West Virginia fan is going to make you throw up. But it does put this tenure under Neil Brown into some perspective. In the last 3 seasons, West Virginia has blown three games where their win probability was over 94%. And by the way, West Virginia had an 89% win probability in their game against Pitt 2 years ago, and they lost that one. So that's nearly four games with a win probability during the game of at least 90% that they've lost in the last three seasons. That falls back on the coaching. I don't care what your cliche phrases are, trust the climb, trust this, trust that. It doesn't matter. When you've lost three games, or four games really, in a three-season window where your win probability during the game was 90%, that's problematic, and that falls back on the coaching staff. Now, I'm a Neil Brown guy. I like him. I want him to be the guy for West Virginia. I think he's a perfect fit for West Virginia football. I don't believe he gets enough credit for what he walked into there, which was a totally empty cupboard courtesy of Dana Holgorsen, who just knows how to completely blow up a program. That being said, Dana Holgorsen is a distant memory for West Virginia football. And Neil Brown is now 1-2. Now, we talked about how difficult this schedule was, and it is difficult. But 1-2 was unacceptable before the season started for non-conference play. As tough as it was, you knew they were going to beat Albany, and we all thought, hey, if they can split Penn State, Pitt, obviously Pitt being the more likely victory, okay. And instead, not only do they get crushed by Penn State, never really in the game, and then they blow a double-digit lead to Pittsburgh, you can't think of a worse 1-2 start if you're a West Virginia fan. Now, the good news is that you're 0-0 in Big 12 play, and Kansas comes to town looking like a shell of what we thought it was going to be because Jalen Daniels can't throw the ball. But man, I'm telling you right now, they better win this weekend. This is a fascinating game this weekend between West Virginia and Kansas because they're two of the early season disappointments in the Big 12. They both had aspirations of being in contention, and the loser of this game feels like it can say goodbye to its season on September 21st. How crazy is that, right? No one would have seen that coming 3 weeks ago, but here we are. And it's one of those things that I look at and I said to myself, this is what makes this sport so amazing. We are talking about two teams that we did not expect to have the non-conference that they had, now playing each other with the loser feeling like the year is basically over. And that's what it feels like after that game for West Virginia, which just was a complete and utter embarrassment with the way it finished and the way it played out. That is a brutal loss for the Mountaineers. And I'm not putting Neil Brown squarely on the hot seat, but I think it's fair to say the seat is heating up a little bit. I'll go back to some of the other games here this week. I want to go back to Kansas State and Arizona. All right, Kansas State taking care of Arizona 31-7 on Friday night. In a game between the Wildcats, in a game that I liked Kansas State in because I thought they were going to be the much better team in the trenches, and that's exactly what they proved in this game. You have Avery Johnson, who's looking more comfortable as a passer every week. He still has a lot of room to grow, but he is looking more comfortable every single week. And for Arizona, I'm looking at a team that, to me, just looks like a team that has star players on it at the key skill position players, quarterback and wide receiver. But I'm not convinced there's enough else there. What are they struggling to do right now? They are struggling to stop the run, and they're struggling to run the ball. Their defensive line, which we knew had high turnover and was going to have a lot of new pieces in there, was going to have to step up, and we had uncertainties around that side of the ball and that position group in particular, and it's not looking good thus far. Gave up 240 rushing yards to Kansas State, and then the O-line only able to put together 56 yards on the ground. It was not pretty at all. I mean, there are more similarities when you think about it between Arizona and Colorado in the sense of they've got these stars, but what else is there, most notably in the trenches? And that's why there are two teams that before the season, when I gave my Big 12 predictions, you can go back and watch it, I was not nearly as high on as so many others. And it was Kansas, and it was Arizona. I had both of these teams finishing in the middle of the pack. I had Arizona going 5-4 in league play, and I had KU going 4-5 in league play. And I feel better about that every single week. Arizona does not look like a team that's going to walk all over the Big 12 conference this year. I don't see it. And that was on full display on Saturday or Friday night. They were completely outmanned by the Wildcats. And I give credit. I saw this. I think it was a reporter out of whatever the Tucson newspaper is. And he made the point, and we wrote about this at Heartland College Sports. He made the point to say that these atmospheres in the Big 12 are not what Arizona fans and Arizona players have been used to around the Pac-12. This ain't Cal, Stanford, UCLA. That's not what you're walking into in Manhattan, Kansas. And I saw some other folks on the K-State side saying the atmosphere on Friday night was electric, and it kind of felt like the late 90s, early 2000s. And if that's the case, good on you. Well done, K-State fans. That's fantastic. But that's going to be part of this as well that will play out not just this year but in future years. And I think that, you know, the four corners outside of maybe Colorado fans, because they know this conference, don't really appreciate. And I'm not knocking anybody for that. It's just the reality is, unless you've been around this league as we have been, as I have been, as many of you have been, ESPN's never going to give it the credit it deserves, right? Because they're not as interested in Manhattan, Kansas, and Ames, Iowa, and Stillwater, Oklahoma, as they are, you know, College Station, Austin, Athens, you know, go down the list. They're just not. But these are damn good atmospheres that we have across this league. And that was clearly on display as well on Friday night, and it did help play a role in Kansas State's dominant win over Arizona, 31-7. Now, the other game on Friday that I just alluded to there was Kansas losing to UNLV. And give credit to UNLV where it's due. They are now 2-0 against the Big 12, beating Houston and beating Kansas. And I'll say this, Jalen Daniels looks like a shell of what he was. And it doesn't look like it's a guy who's just dealing with some rust. He just looks jittery. Looks nervous. He's throwing balls at people's feet. Now, he did have some nice passes late in that game that sailed through the hands of his wide receivers. There's one in particular down the right sideline in the fourth quarter that stands out to me. But he's not JD6 anymore. He's not. He's a hype machine that was overhyped for a long time and has come crashing back down to earth. And also, he's in a tough spot with his new offensive coordinator. Ask Baylor fans about Jeff Grimes. When they lost their OC, Andy, to Penn State, a lot of Baylor fans said, be careful what you wish for with Jeff Grimes. They experienced Jeff Grimes, and it did not go well. I don't quite understand the hire. I never did, but it's not helping out with Jalen Daniels. I'll tell you that right now. And one thing that got way overlooked last year is that KU may have been the better team with Jason Bean than with Jalen Daniels. No one ever considered that. It was like, whoa, look how great this backup quarterback is. Well, maybe the backup was the better player. I mean, that's not unusual in college football for the backup quarterback to be the better player. And now we're watching Jalen Daniels saying, where's Jason Bean when you need him? Now, Devin Neal had himself a good game against UNLV in that 23-20 loss, 23 carries, 120 yards. But here's what's going to happen. Teams are going to say to KU, all right, we're going to stack the box. Jalen, beat us down the field. Show us what you got, buddy. Beat us down the field, and we want to see you beat us with your arm. And that is not the situation that KU wants to be in, from what I can tell, the rest of the season. So KU is now 1-2. On the year. I want to go back to Thursday night. Arizona State ekes it out, gets the 31-28 win over Texas State. Now, some of you are going to say, and some of you were tweeting at me, and are Xing at me, I guess we'll call it. You can find us on X at Heartland_CS. We're also on Instagram at Heartland College Sports, and just search for us on Facebook, Threads, TikTok, everywhere. Some of you saying, see, I told you, Arizona State's overrated. You know, they were down early, and it's like, first off, they were only, I think, a 2-point favorite over Texas State in San Marcos. It's a good Group of Five school. It's on the road. It's their Super Bowl, so to speak, against a Power 5 team. You know, if you're a Group of 5 team and you want to get to a college football playoff, beating a Power 5 team goes a long ways towards you having the resume that you need to get into the playoff. So these teams are always going to be juiced against Power 4 teams because this is their chance if they want to make the playoff.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So Arizona State fought its way back, didn't play its best game based on the early season, but they fought their way back and they ended up getting out of there with a win. And if you're an Arizona State fan and the over-under on the win total is 4.5, you are ecstatic right now. Now, I mentioned where I think I'm right, and that is on Arizona and Kansas this year. I'm obviously going to be, and I'm happy about this, dead wrong on Arizona State. Dead wrong. In many ways, I continue to be more impressed by some of the defensive pieces than I do the offensive pieces. But I look at guys like Rouser on the defensive side of the ball, Elliott. I mean, these guys are coming in, and they're coming in hot, and they're not messing around. It has been such a fun team to follow where each side of the ball seems to pick the other side up when it's needed. Now, what that means with Big 12 play starting, that remains to be seen. But they're 3-0. They're, to me, the story of the Big 12, and they go to Lubbock this weekend as an underdog for a 2:30 Central time kickoff, which is really interesting. But, you know, Texas, Kansas, and then it's Utah, Cincinnati. If Arizona State is 2-2 over that stretch, they're 5-2 overall. Boy, you hit the over before Halloween. Who would have taken that if you're an Arizona State fan? I think every single one of you. And you should have. So it's amazing what's going on there in Tempe, and it is a lot of fun to follow. Now, elsewhere around the Big 12, Oklahoma State, you know, some of these games are blowouts, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on them. Oklahoma State blasting Tulsa. That was a bad pick by me. I picked Tulsa to cover the 19, obviously a total loser of a bet on my end. My picks went 1-2, and man, I am this close to having a much better season. So right now, let me see. I'm 1-2, 2-1, 3. So I am 4-5 on the season with my picks. But man, I feel like I should be 6-3, to be honest. So this past week, I had Tulsa plus the 19. I gave you Cincinnati minus the 3, which hit against Miami of Ohio. And then I gave you West Virginia minus 2. And just like last week, my Cincinnati pick in week 2 looked like it was money until the final few minutes. Same thing on Saturday. I thought I was going towards a 2-1 week, but West Virginia soiled themselves, blew a double-digit lead, and then lost the game. So, unfortunately, my picks went 1-2, so that puts me at 4-5 on the season. But, man, I'm glad I went back to the well on Cincinnati. I'm glad I went back to the well on them. I felt good about that pick, and it's working out pretty well thus far. But Oklahoma State, you know, if Alan Bowman looks like that Alan Bowman on Saturday, then they're in a Big 12 championship game. I just don't know if that's the Alan Bowman you're going to get every week, and no offense to Tulsa, but the Big 12 is going to be much different than Tulsa. It's like when Alan Bowman plays high-level competition, he's a totally different guy than when he's playing low-level competition. But that looked like the Alan Bowman from the heyday at Texas Tech, which feels like it's 20 years ago now, but it's not actually all that long ago. So that was the most impressive part for Oklahoma State, but it also says that Tulsa, and I knew it was dicey. I just thought Tulsa would get up for the moment. Tulsa's bad this year. I mean, they lost to Arkansas State the year prior. It's not terrible, but still, you got to be winning those games if you're Tulsa. So Oklahoma State takes care of business. Utah, bit of a scare early on. You know, Cam Rising was not playing in this game, obviously. And that is something to watch ahead of the big matchup in Stillwater this weekend. But when you look back on this game, you know, you're sitting there. And for me, there's a lot of games going on now in the Big 12, obviously, with all the extra teams, especially in non-conference play. So I'm kind of keeping tabs on this one from afar. And when Utah State goes up 14-3, I'm like, okay. And it was like a four-play, quick hit, 50-some-odd-yard drive. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm on alert. But then what happens after that? Utah puts together a methodical 75-yard drive. Isaac Wilson finally looks like he's kind of, you know, getting comfortable, coming into his own. They score a touchdown. Utah State misses a field goal. And then a couple of drives later, Utah goes up, and the rest is history. But it was a little bit dicey there. I know that the Utes fans were like, come on, this is a trap game going into Oklahoma State. We got a backup quarterback. Don't let this be the year. Don't let this be the year that we're blowing this thing against Utah State before Big 12 play starts. Don't do it. And thankfully, that did not happen. But it was a little dicey early on. But now we all get set for Stillwater on Saturday. Elsewhere around the Big 12, we had Texas Tech score 21 points in a minute to roll North Texas 66-21. They put up 50 in the first half for the first time in almost 20 years. So good on the Red Raiders. Comfortable win. The drama, that is what this team needed. And I will say that Washington State lost. Now, it was a bad loss. They were never in the game. But it doesn't look as bad, obviously, when you see what Washington State did to Washington this past weekend. So I'm not saying you feel better about things if you're Texas Tech or a Texas Tech fan, but here's the deal. You're 2-1. You got Arizona State this weekend. You're favored at home. You can get Big 12 playoff on the right foot, but man, that is going to be a sneaky fun game. Suddenly, that's like, I would argue, maybe the most intriguing game. But then I would also say KU West Virginia, for some of the reasons I mentioned earlier, the loser, arguably, is like done for the year at 1-3, which nobody would have thought before the season. So go figure on that. But Texas Tech just gets a comfortable win, blows it out, moves on. Cincinnati beating Miami, Ohio, I mentioned that, 27-16. And for Cincinnati, it was important to have that bounce back after the way last week's game went against Pitt. And Corey Connor continues to be the kind of back that you want him to be for Cincinnati. He had himself a big game, 21 carries, 126 yards, and a score. And, you know, you just look at what this team is doing right now and the way it feels like that defense is starting to come together. Just having Corleone there matters. He didn't have himself necessarily a huge game statistically speaking, but just having a guy like that with the focus of an offensive line can open up other parts of your defense and can make a difference in a way that doesn't show up in a stat sheet. And that's where Cincinnati had to have a good bounce back. And now for Cincinnati, it's like, okay, you've got some winnable games here. You've got Houston and Texas Tech to start conference play. At the very least, Cincinnati's got to split those games. And that's what this fan base should expect. I mean, Cincinnati should be sitting there saying, we need to get to a bowl game this year. Success is 4-5 in Big 12 play. That gets us to 6-6. And that's not an unreasonable expectation, by the way. I'll add that as well. That's not an unreasonable expectation. Elsewhere, Baylor pulls away to roll Air Force 31-3. I'm looking at it and I'm saying, one, the defense looks to be continuing to improve under Dave Aranda's play calling and tutelage. And two, are you going to go back to Daquan Finn at quarterback? Or is Sawyer Robertson your guy? How much of this is who they were playing in Air Force versus Sawyer Robertson actually being that guy? That's debatable. But I do wonder if there is a bit of a quarterback battle, quarterback controversy brewing based on what you saw in that game on Saturday for Baylor. And now Baylor ends up going to Colorado to open up Big 12 play in a sneaky good game. I mean, it's. I feel like I'm saying that about every Big 12 game, but this is where it starts to get good because two-thirds of this conference thinks, why not us? Two-thirds of this conference is going into this week saying, hey, if we get off to a hot start in league play, why aren't we the team that shocks in the Big 12? Why aren't we the team that people look at and say, you know what? We're going to end up in Arlington. We're going to be the TCU of 2 years ago. we're going to be the Oklahoma State of last year. Gets off to maybe a rocky start, loses to South Alabama, and gets to a Big 12 championship game. Why can't that be us? And that is how a bunch of these Big 12 teams, I guarantee you, are looking at these games. Let me talk about Colorado beating Colorado State 28-9. There is clearly no love lost between these two teams. Deion Sanders and Jay Norvell didn't talk before the game. It was a very brief handshake after the game. Travis Hunter had himself an incredible performance. Two touchdown grabs, interception, did it on both sides of the field. Dumb penalty after that pick, by the way, but whatever. That's how it's going to be with Deion's guys. That's okay. If you're winning, it's okay. But I do not understand what was going on there at the end of regulation. You are up 28-9, and you are bombing the ball on third and fourth downs with a minute left instead of taking a knee and moving on. I get wanting to stick it to someone you don't like. I do. But what are we doing here? What's the point? What if Shadur got hurt? And I'll give the CBS announcers this. They were talking about it. I'm glad they were, because it was the right conversation to have. Shadur Sanders gets hurt trying to run up the score against Jay Norvell and Colorado State just because. How stupid does Deion look today? I'm not doing this to rag on Deion. I'm not. I'm doing this because it's the obvious conversation that needs to be had here. What is the point of that? You're putting your own kids' health at risk to run up the score against a guy who no one's going to remember in 5 years. Like, no offense to Jay Norvell. I'm not trying to be mean here, but no one's going to remember that Jay Norvell was the head coach of Colorado State in 2030. So what are we doing? What's the point of this? Especially when it's your own son, and the whole point of a large part of you being there is to get him to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year. I just didn't understand it. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me from any perspective. And while Colorado got a win, and they're 2-1, and it was, for the most part, a non-dramatic finish to conference play, it is a head-scratcher in hindsight. Two other games in the Big 12 that were, generally speaking, blowouts here. You had Houston blasting Rice 33-7, and I'll say this for Houston. And for Willie Fritz, this team has looked significantly better the last 2 weeks after losing to UNLV. The UNLV loss doesn't look as awful as it did back in week one. And I believe Houston's going to sneak up on some people. That's what you're going to end up seeing from this Houston Cougars team after beating Rice 33-7. Not that Rice is any good, but I'm just telling you, I believed, and what I said before the season was that Willie Fritz was going to get this team better and better and better, kind of like Lance Leipold in year one. They would just kind of surprise people and be better than people expected, not necessarily win the games, but just have some games where you say, okay, all right, this team, this program's coming together under this guy. That's what this is starting to feel like with the Houston Cougars, who kept it close against OU in week two, and then also just rolled Rice here in week three. And now you go to Cincinnati, and it's like, why not? Try to get a win there. And BYU, that defense, man, continues to do its thing, beating Wyoming 34-14. So Wyoming is bad. The Colt Bowl era is come and gone, and they are not the program that they were. However, BYU's defense continues to prove it is going to be a force to be reckoned with. They have a very solid defense that if you're sitting there right now and you are a fan of this team, you feel really good about. And you should feel really good about this defense. And the Wyoming coach had a great line after the game. We wrote about it at heartlandcollegesports.com. Let me get the official quote for you here. He said, "There's some ass up there. It's not a bad-looking club," referring to the defensive line in particular. You look out there, you see that defense, there's some ass up there, you know, when you're looking at that front and you're looking at the way that the secondary looks and the linebackers look, it's not a bad-looking club. How many of you guys have said that before? There's some ass out there. Well, now we're saying it about this BYU defense. And that defensive staff, by the way, for BYU, very underrated. So I'm looking at this team and I'm saying they're going to be in some slugfests, And Kansas State better not get caught looking ahead next week to Oklahoma State. You're going to Provo Saturday night, 9:30 Central Time kickoff. You better have your A game. That game is going to be a lot of fun in the trenches. After BYU, another surprise, finishing non-conference play at a very solid 3-0. So it was a very good week of Big 12 football. Thank you for being here. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. If you are not on our forums, get on there. They're free. Big 12 fans are joining every single day. Great way to interact with fellow fans. And thank you. Hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. We so appreciate you doing that. And also, if you're on the podcast, drop us that 5-star rating and review. Thank you for being here, for being a part of the show. It means the world to me that you are consuming this content with all the college football options out there. And we're growing every single week thanks to you here at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great day. See you later.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.